Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
This is Glenn the Geek on a beautiful sunny day here in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 4th, 2010, episode 47. Good morning, horse world.
I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. A horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Some of my friends, they only have just one. They're in recovery, but I'm having all the fun. I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit.
Happy New Year, Jamie, and welcome back.
Thank you so much for giving me an extended vacation. I do appreciate it. Happy New Year to you guys. I hope everything is great.
It seems like forever since we talked to you. It seems like forever.
I know. I mean, I guess the last time I talked to you was when you interjected yourself onto the Hottest Horseman Awards.
Hey, I only did once. I thought I did pretty good. There were several times during that show that I just had my finger on the button. But I didn't.
I'm proud of you. You held it back the only one time, so that was good. What a fun show that was, and New Year's was awesome, so life couldn't be any better, Glenn.
Well, that's good. That's terrific, and I want to hear about, I know you have some stories from the weekend, so we're going to hear about those, and we have some other cool stuff coming up on today's show, which Jennifer's going to tell us about right now.
On today's show, we will be talking with Kogi Long from Equine Affair about all of the amazing clinics and events coming up at this year's expos, and I'm willing to bet we're going to have some stuff on there that people, even people who've been to those expos went, really? And then we're going to have Kelly Gage from Team Engaged. She will be stopping by with the skinny on the rock star clinicians that she has scheduled for 2011. Kelly and Team Engage seem to get a hold of the clinicians that are the just the talk of the town for the year. And so if you want the top names, you just go to Team Engaged. And our own Jamie Jennings will be sharing her most recent new horse husband drama with the entire equestrian world.
No horse husband drama in Jamie's life. Not at all. She's a newlywed. Everything is all smooth and rosy. That's what happens
you know,
in your first year.
And exactly, Glenn, but that's what's so funny about it is this drama was not created by me. And it's just so surprising how my husband... I know, right? He has thrown himself into the world of horse husband, and we'll definitely have to tell you that story in just a minute. But I wanted to tell you that for the first time in my entire life, because of you and Jen, I watched the Tournament of Roses parade for the first time.
Did you watch it on HGTV?
Of course I did, because I turned it on, and it was not on it, and it went to commercial. And I was like, oh, wait, there's commercial free on HGTV. So went over to that, and actually, I mean, granted, I kind of came in and out of the room, but it was really good. I saw the SpongeBob SquarePants one, which I love SpongeBob. I do. I can't help it.
Of all the things you pick out of the parade.
It was awesome. It was this giant SpongeBob, and he moved around, and it was I cannot believe the monumental amount of money and man hours that go into making those floats. I mean, they're talking about the flowers. First of all, that's a lot of flowers, and I'm assuming that they can't just, like, pluck those 3 months ago and start working on it. So, I mean, that and then the movement and the technology that's incorporated in all of it, the giant dragons floating around, the horses, it was phenomenal. I'm gonna tell you, I'm going to watch that every year now.
I'm glad you did. Each of the floats costs $1 million to $2 million. And the live flowers can only be put on, up to four days in advance. And each one of those live flowers is in one of those little water doohickeys.
They put them in a little vial of water and then push the vial in so that they stay fresh.
Yes, but it's only 4 days, so there are hundreds and hundreds of volunteers for each float to get them all covered like that. It's just an amazing thing. And, of course, we got to see the guests we had on, you know, who were riding in the parade. That was kind of cool. And I heard back from the Victorian ladies there, the Victorian Roses. They wrote and said they had a terrific time. They sent me an email yesterday, and they said, you know, what you see on TV is only one corner. They had a five-mile parade to go after that. So,
really?
You know, for them, and they said, you know, there are stands and people packed in like that the entire 5 miles. So they said it's just an incredible experience. And that was the girl who was driving, the Victorian ladies driving the Belgian that they showed as part of their thing. So, yeah, so, I mean, that was – I'm glad you got to watch it. That was fun. Wasn't the Madeline Pickens float of the Mustangs cool?
It was beautiful. I just could not believe to think that that is made out of flowers and it's just, you just couldn't believe it. It was really, really cool. I really liked it. Now I did notice, I couldn't remember the name of the girls that you had on the show, but I saw the cowgirl chicks, and I thought that was
the cowgirl
them.
Chicks, Trish. Yep.
Yeah. Right. So I saw them too. And, you know, like I said, I kind of had to come and go. I had family here, but for the most part, I saw most of it and it was really, really cool. I can't believe I've missed that my entire life.
My favorite part about the float is they, you know, they have to have the exterior covered with organic materials. They have a tree on the float, just a tree. But they don't just put a tree there. They could put a tree. They could pick up tree and just stuff it on the float, and that would be organic material. No, they make it out of wire mesh and cover it with the foamy stuff and then put something that's not tree-like on there to make it look like a tree. That blows me away every time. There's a sunflower on there, but no, instead of using a real sunflower, they make a sunflower out of onion seeds and chrysanthemums. That's just totally bizarre.
Well, I it was really cool, and I'm glad to see it. And I guess too, the last time I talked to you was for the horses, the Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards. Is that, you know, I'm amazed at how much that kind of took off, actually, to tell you the truth. I mean, people have written articles about it. People are going crazy about it. I'm still getting emails and Facebooks about it. What about you?
Yes, I agree. I only had a couple of people write me hate mail about it, so I thought that was
pretty good. Are you serious?
Oh yeah, I got a couple hate mail about it, and you know, but I did have one person write me back and say that, you know, initially she thought this was a bad idea, that it was kind of sexist and all that, until I explained on the show one day that guys are different, and that we you know, we like to be called hot, and any opportunity that anybody wants to call me hot, I'll take it. You know, we're a little different that way, and that sort of changed her mind, and then she got into it. So, you know, it's different strokes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I did want to give you an update over the weekend. You know, you guys teased me about talking to Charles Zenyatta's handler.
Like a little schoolgirl?
Okay, I want to first of all clarify that I was not like a little schoolgirl because of Charles. I was a little schoolgirl because of Zenyatta, okay?
It was funny. But I noticed a couple of the comments, I got to tell you, a couple of the comments on Zenyatta's page, people who went back and listened to it. By the way, that was the most listened to day that we have had by far here. Matter of fact, it was the most listened to show that we've done in one day. In other words, we had more downloads for that particular show than any of our shows in the last 2 years for one day, set a one-day record. So So you guys did a good job there. But one of the posts on Zenyatta's page, on the post they put about it, was those two were like little kids talking to somebody. It was funny.
Are you serious? I didn't realize anybody said that. I did notice the comments on Zenyatta's Facebook page that said, oh, my gosh, is Charles single?
I know. I bet you his Facebook requests have gone way up since that show.
Oh, yeah, he commented about that. But I do want to read you. I got an email from Charles over the weekend. Of course, you know, I get the email from Charles, and it makes me think of Zenyatta. And I squeal like a little girl because I'm like, whoa, he wrote me an email, a Facebook, I guess. But I just wanted to read it because it's actually really cool. He said, Jamie, just a quick note to say a big thank you to you and your crew for the chat we had this morning. I just got in from work and listened to it and thought it was great fun. I really wanted listeners to understand just how lucky and how much we appreciate having Z here, and also how much love and attention she gets. If there were more success stories coming out of racing like hers, I think people's everyday lives would be a whole lot easier. He kind of goes on to talk about the boost she's given not just racing but America and how everybody's going to rally behind her. So he said, take care and thank you, Charles. So he liked being on the show. He liked being a part of it. And even though it was a silly premise, he had something that he wanted to say. And by golly, he did it. So I'm hoping that I wrote him back and I was like, sweet, come on our show every month and talk about Zenyatta. Now, I haven't quite heard back from him since that email. There, great, come on. So, but anyway, thank you for coming on the show, everybody. I mean, how funny was Boyd Martin? I'm sorry, the guy was
great.
Hilarious.
And they did, probably Boyd actually put a post on his blog too about it. So he was very gracious because I wasn't sure. You know, he didn't really know what he had won. And when Boyd won best in breeches, and I think when he found that out, he was like, "Really?" So, but he did put a post on their blog at their website. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, when I called him to book the interview, you know, first of all, I called him, left a message, and then my caller ID, when he called me back to, you know, I was like, hey, this is Jamie from the Horse Radio Network. Give me a call. You've won an award. So he calls me back, and first of all, to see the name Boyd Martin pop up on your caller ID is like the most surreal thing ever. I was like, what? Boyd Martin calling me. Oh, wait, I called him. Okay, whew, okay. And I took the call, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to tell you what you won, but it's for the Hottest Horseman of the Year award. And he laughed and laughed, and I said, you're going to laugh harder when you find out which one you won. I'm not going to tell you until we get you on the show. So that was kind of an incentive for him to be on the show, and I thought he handled it like a pro. I mean, He thought it was very funny, and he was such a good sport about it. I mean, everybody was. And Monty Roberts saying, I've never been called hot for anything. And he
I know.
Loved it.
That was funny. That was one of the funny moments. Matter of fact, I should really cut that out and make a clip out of that we play, because it was funny. I've never heard Monty, you know, say something like that before.
And, yeah, it was hilarious.
His daughter wrote back and said that he had a good time. He thought it was a lot of fun. So,
that's great. I mean, what a story. What a guy. 47 foster kids. So, in total, 50 children have been touched by him, you know, and in their lives. And I think that's such an important thing. And I think it was so great to honor him for that, and the fact that his daughter is the one who nominated him. Like, listen, my dad is awesome. You got it. You know, it was just very, very cool. So, I thought the whole show was very fun, and I'm glad that a lot of people downloaded it and listened to it, because and for those three or four people that sent us something nasty, are you serious? Lighten up. It was for fun, and, you know, maybe next year we'll give money to charity for it or something, but that is just the first time Helene and I have done something like that, so it was great.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. I thought you handled it very well, and, you know, I didn't type in, so it was going well. And I had a great time over on Facebook because there were all kinds of people commenting, and, you know, I got to have a little chat over on Facebook during the show. By the way, we want to remind everybody that we do have a lot of new listeners. If you want to chat during the show, you can just go to Facebook and search for Horses in the Morning, and there are little conversations that go on there about what we talk about in the morning. And, Jamie, speaking of hot horsemen, you talked about your husband being, you know, a new horseman, and you know, I know you consider him pretty hot. And I just want you to go to Facebook to our page right now and see what I just posted there. And everybody else can do the same. I just posted a picture of her hot horse husband. And let me tell you what, he also must be manly and very, very comfortable in his family. Because I just posted a picture of him in his finest Christmas sweater with his brother, by the way, who looks a lot like, they look a lot alike.
Yeah, they do.
So he's there with his brother at a freaking football game, at a college football game, wearing the girliest Christmas sweaters I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
So you've got to explain that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. The sweater thing. This is Chad and his brother, and they both, Chad went and graduated from OU, and they grew up in Norman, Oklahoma, where the school is. So, his brother now lives in LA, and the Fiesta Bowl was where the Sooners played in. And so it was actually here in Phoenix. So Chad's brother drove in, and for Christmas, in the mail, we got a package of presents from his brother, and his brother had sent Chad the most god awful reindeer Christmas sweater ever, which for Chad's brother, that's very typical of him to send something like that. I mean, he's just a very funny guy. So, you know, we got this sweater. Chad tried it on. I took some pictures for him and emailed them the pictures, and he was in front of the Christmas tree with this god awful Christmas sweater on. So Chad and I go out trail riding, and we know we have to get back around 3:30 because his brother's coming in, and we're riding down the street and we're coming into the house, and there is Chad's brother standing at the top of the driveway wearing an exact matching Christmas sweater like the one Chad got. So
it isn't dorky enough that there's one guy wearing this sweater. It makes it doubly dorky that there's two guys wearing this sweater at the same time, like FODs.
You should have seen the look. So of course, you know, with Andrew wearing the sweater, Chad is challenged to wear the sweater. And then he's like, I'm gonna wear it to the game, man. And the other brother's like, well, if you wear it to the game, then I'm going to wear it to the game. And then the other guy was like, wait, we don't really have to wear these to the game. And the other was like, well, you said you were going to do it, so I'm not going to do it. And, you know, it became this, like, testosterone-filled thing to, like, almost like a double dog dare with each other to see who would wear the sweater. And they both ended up wearing the sweater. So it's two guys wearing Christmas sweaters and me walking around in this stadium with 60,000 people in it. And I'm not kidding you. The stares that they got were, like, priceless. People were going,
they were probably going, my initial reaction would be, look at those two gay guys with that pretty girl. I mean, that would be my initial reaction.
Exactly. So we were up grabbing some drinks and beverages at the stand, and the girl behind goes, oh my God, did you guys lose a bet? And Andrew without Mr. B goes, what's wrong? My mom made us these sweaters. She was like, oh my God. I mean, they're cool. Those are great holidays. She's like, no, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, enjoy the Facebook pictures and of the holiday sweaters with reindeers. And by the way, the snowflakes that are on the front cover the entire back of the sweater as well. So I could see them coming a mile away.
I don't care how good the game was. This was probably the highlight right here.
Oh, my gosh. It was the only thing that kept me entertained. I mean, I'm not a football person. I was like, this is the greatest thing they could have done for me.
And you know, something about going to football games too in person like that. First of all, you're packed in like sardines, and the second thing is, you're at those football games, and every time they take a commercial break, there's nothing happening. It's like this big empty gap of time, and it just seems to go on forever that there's these gaps of time. I really don't like football in person. I'll watch it on TV because you can do other things, but ooh.
And that was the problem with this game, Glenn, is I was there. First of all, they messed up the time. The guys thought kickoff was at 5:30, but it was 6:30. So we get there at 5. We have an hour and a half before the game starts. And then it is like it's a bowl game, so there's so many commercials that we were there for like 6 hours. The game was almost 4 hours long, so it was exhausting. I hated it. I told Chad, I'm like, never make me go to a live football game ever again, because I think I whined and complained the last 2 hours of it. It was like, he's like, I go to your horse shows. I'm like, those are fun, okay?
I just read something Karen just posted on Facebook underneath the picture of the boys in the sweaters. Just posted under, she said, if you can't say something nice, ... no comment.
I love it, Karen. That is exactly true. Glenn, you should post the other one of them in their seats and get the real idea of what they were looking like when they were sitting there in their seats watching a football game. I mean, the least manly thing you could think of. So, yeah, thanks for posting that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So what else happened over the weekend?
Well, the other story that I had for you, Glenn and Jennifer, was, of course, if anybody would like to call and comment on this upcoming story or anything we've just talked about, 347-637-3238. We welcome your calls at any time. Usually they save me from having to tell embarrassing stories about myself. but this one is actually about my husband. You know, he's really absorbed this whole farm life thing. He loves taking care of, we have chickens and the horses. He goes out and feeds in the morning while I'm doing the radio show. He's just like Superman recently. And he's just been absorbing it. He's awesome at it. And, you know, he's really wanted a canine partner to be with him for, you know, each of the farm chores. He likes to run. He likes to bike. He's very athletic. And he wants a dog to play with him, pretty much. Well, we have a 14-year-old basset. What?
Oh, I was going to say, what? You already have dogs, right?
Yeah, he wants one to actually play with him. My 14-year-old basset with a heart condition is not going to go run out and chase a Frisbee. And my little border collie, Shelty Mix, could care less if Chad was here or not. She is focused on me. So he's wanted his own dog. He's wanted a dog that he can wrestle with and throw Frisbees and do guy stuff with, because my dogs aren't, they're just not guy dogs. He inherited these dogs via me when we met and got married. So, Glenn, you can open up the email I sent you, because you'll have to post this online. My husband decided that he chose a breed, and of course for me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, you don't choose dogs. They come to you. I'm a big fan of rescue. Both the dogs we have are rescue dogs. But he really wanted a specific type of dog and did some breed research and came up with the English Shepherd. And it's a kind of a rare dog. It's not even AKC. It's EKC, which is, I guess, European Kennel Club. And he found a breeder in North Carolina that is very reputable. We've done all the research on. And he decided he wanted to get a puppy from them. So,
oh, my
Glenn,
God, this is as cute as they get. Did he get these and surprise you?
They, when you say these, yeah, he couldn't decide on which puppy he wanted, so he got two.
Oh, my
gosh. Glenn, you got to post a picture so I can see it.
Oh,
all right,
oh
I'm trying
God.
To upload them to Facebook right now. I'm doing that right now.
So these
two
are the
puppies?
Two puppies. He couldn't decide whether you wanted the little black female or the fawn-colored male. So he decided that we should get both.
Oh, my goodness.
So these puppies are flying in on January 17th from North Carolina. I have to go. We have to go to the airport and pick them up. I've never bought a dog in my entire life, nor have I ever gone to an airport to pick one up. But yeah, these are the newest Jennings family members, and they.
Oh my
gosh!
You know, you have to go to Facebook. Everybody has to go to Facebook and take
dear.
A look. I just posted these, and these are the cutest. What kind are they again?
They are English Shepherds. It's almost like a mix between a Border Collie and a German Shepherd. Is kind of what the breed characteristics are like. Holy moly! And you know, you're like, we can't take care of two puppies, and I'm trying to get mad, but they're just so stinking cute that I couldn't get mad. But
I'm assuming you didn't get your guinea pig.
No guinea pig. Got two puppies, though, so that's okay. But, oh, my gosh, Glenn, we don't have children. It's our first year of marriage. We're planning, possibly planning a family a couple years down the road. But it was like we had kids. I said, I am not going to be the only one to take care of these puppies. When you get home from work, you are going to help me feed them. You are going to help me clean them. You are going to have to spend time with them because I am not going to do it all.
Hold it. Stop. This is a girl with 5 horses, 25 chickens, dogs, and I don't know. You don't have cats because you're allergic, but that's the only reason you don't have cats. So, I don't know. That's the kettle black,
I have 5 chickens, okay? That's plenty enough. I chase them off the patio all day. So, did I really need 2 more dogs? Not really, but, he's so excited about him. And I didn't know he was an animal person when I met him, and I don't think he knew it because he's in the military and he's moved every 2 years, hasn't been able to have a dog ever. So when I kind of came into his life, he finally had dogs, and he certainly loves them, but he wanted a puppy to play with and to train. And from what I understand, 2 is just as easy, just as hard as 1. Because they're difficult. But we have a fully fenced in farm, and I'm going to kick him out in the morning.
Well, there you go. Twice the pile. Just keep that in mind. And so that means now you're going to have 4 dogs in the house, and that's kind of approaching that limit, that limit that everybody talks about with dogs and cats.
It's reaching crazy town is what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty close. You're on the edge.
I'm well aware.
I will say that these are as cute as the Dickens.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Jennifer, do you see them? Did you get to see them?
Yes, I see the puppies, and the answer, Glenn, is still no.
There's still 2 litter mates available, Jen. They could be yours.
Glenn's back on his we need another greyhound kick.
Oh, I found a really cute one, too. On the Louisville adoption, they have a really cute little female. And I think that if somehow I can arrange to bring the greyhound over for a visit, then Jennifer will have to concede because she'll meet it and she'll fall in love. So I don't know.
Where is it?
It's right over in Louisville, so it's not too far away.
Glenn, tell her to visit. Well, what you're going to do is you got to go and Jen, stop listening for a second.
Okay,
Glenn, here's what you do, my friend. Honey, we are going to go to Louisville to go to Churchill Downs. I really, want to take you on the backside tour, and then we'll go through the museum because Jen loves history. You take her to the museum, then you take her out, and I know she doesn't drink much, but every once in a while you can get her to drink a strawberry daiquiri, and you get her a strawberry daiquiri, and then you put her in the car and say, we're going to head home. We just have to make 1 stop first, and then you're done.
One quick little stop.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Hey, wait a minute. You weren't supposed to be listening. Don't you have a guest to call? We're talking here.
I think you guys need a dog. And by the way, our little puppies have 2 brothers, 1 brother and 1 sister that are still available for for adoption. So wouldn't that be funny? Oh, my gosh.
All right,
so
Karen,
anyway,
you're
a
the
bad
funny
influence,
lines here
today. Bad influence.
I know.
Jamie. Karen's getting the word for the funny lines of Facebook today. She just wrote, how adorable both of them. Maybe they'll round up the chickens until you get sheep.
I'm not getting sheep. It is not going to happen. No more animals at this house, for crying out loud. It is out of control.
Jamie, or Karen, 2 points for you today. You're doing great. Keep them coming.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no sheep. I have a neighbor that has goats. So I figure I'll let him go chase them. But they are really cool dogs, and I'm really excited to get them. But I'm kind of dreading the amount of work that goes into 2 puppies. I mean, and my Basset Hound wants no part. She's old. She can barely, she doesn't want to be bothered right now, if you know what I mean. So the 2 puppies will keep each other busy, and kind of stay away from her a little bit. And she's got her special room and her special bed and all that, and she's very comfortable. But I figured at least with 2, maybe they'll go outside and play and leave the other 2 alone. probably wishful
thinking. Actually, you are right about that. I mean, the puppies are puppies definitely like to have a playmate, so that'll be good. Congratulations, I guess.
Thank you. Congratulations to Chad. He never ceases to surprise me. And when he was on Saturday night, he's like, okay, I can't decide which one. And we've gone back and forth, the male, the female, back and forth on which one would fit in, which one looks like it would work better, you know, males and versus females. And he goes, you know what? I'm getting them both. I was like, excuse me? What?
At least Jennifer should, you know, she should feel better about the fact that I'm not, by the way, I think she is off arranging our next guest so we can talk.
Yeah, she's
I think that, you know, she should feel good about the fact that I'm not wanting to. I can take that approach now again.
You don't want to, you just want one. Hello, you could get two easily. But, yeah, a house without a dog, when you have a horse, it's just, to me, it just doesn't seem normal. So you can have one or two of mine.
Hey, speaking of which, horse husbands, you're talking about horse husbands. There was a, we'll talk about this a little later after our guest, but there was a article that was put out in one of the regional venting newsletters that I found interesting. It was written by a horse boyfriend, and it was about the things that you should learn and not do as an eventer's horse boyfriend. And I just read that, and of course it was my life. It was exactly all the things that I did wrong when I first started dating Jennifer. And I know that you have the same experience because you're an eventer, so we're going to have to talk about that later. It was very interesting and kind of fun. But first, we have our guest on the phone here. And our first guest is Togi Long. She's the program manager from Equine Affair Incorporated. Equine Affair has three locations. They do in Massachusetts and Ohio and California. I venture to guess that a good 70% of the audience listening right now has been to an Equine Affair or has at least heard of it. So we're going to welcome Togi. Hi, Togi, and welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much, and a pleasure to join you.
Well, I'm so glad you could because, you know, my wife and I have been going to Equine Affairs forever. I mean, forever. It seems like forever. Probably since we've known each other, we've been going to Equine Affairs. So we've seen them grow, and we've seen them really morph into what they are today. But tell us a little bit, for people who haven't been to an Equine Affair, can you just give us a little bit of the history of it?
Sure, absolutely. Well, our first Equine Affair was held in 1994 in Dayton, Ohio, and we started out as a 2.5-day event, basically based on the concept of being produced by horse people for horse people. And then by 1997, we had outgrown the Hera Complex facility in Dayton and expanded to 4 days and relocated to the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, which is kind of our main base at this point, where we continue to hold our expositions at the Ohio location. 2011 will mark our 18th year in Ohio and our 43rd event overall, in that we produce the other events in California and Massachusetts as well.
So you're starting to figure it out now. You've had 43. It's getting easier.
we kind of have a system down. Yes. Although there is always room for improvement. So we're always looking for those little ways to make it even better each year for both the attendees and the exhibitors and everyone participating. So it's we have a program in place, you might say, but always looking for those new endeavors as well.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a good thing. The Equine Affairs, I think, you know, I'm going back now 10, 12 years ago, they all were kind of cookie cutter. And, you know, you would go back year after year, and it almost got to feel like the same thing year after year. And, of course, one of the big things about Equine Affairs is shopping. But, you know, it would seem like you were seeing the same things. And then I noticed in the last couple of years, you guys have really tried to step it up with some new programs, with some new clinicians, you know, not the same old ones all the time. And then you also came up with some concepts that are kind of interesting. So there's a couple things I wanted to talk to you about there. One is the Versatile Horse and Rider Contest. I think it's a great idea.
Sure. Well, really, the competition is based on quality horsemanship. We're looking for those people that can really come out, show us what they can do with their horse in both a controlled manner, but also incorporating some of the fun into it as well. So it's something where we've designed some courses, encouraging applicants to apply to join us. We're looking at, it's an open competition, so we're looking at people that are our backyard people that really can do something with the horse all the way up through advanced levels. So everyone competes together, but it really is a fun competition in that we actually incorporate a theme into this year's debut at the Ohio event. This is a competition that we've run at the Massachusetts event for a few years now, and I'm looking forward to debuting it in Ohio. We're looking at bringing a Pony Express theme to it. 2010 actually commemorated the 100th anniversary of the Pony Express, so we are looking at just kind of incorporating that into the theme of the course and some of the obstacles that the participants will kind of tackle.
So it's really what it is a timed race, basically, and through obstacles. It's sort of like, but indoors, it's in your arena.
It is indoors, and basically it's a concept, it's a combined concept based on your performance, which gets a score, and a time. So each obstacle will have a maximum of 30 seconds to be completed, and each obstacle will also be awarded a certain number of points. So one, you have to complete the obstacle in that 30 seconds and also complete it well. So all of those scores for each of the obstacles are added up.
And let's get to the good stuff here. You can win some big bucks.
There is some great money. Overall, there's a total of $5,500 available in prize money. $2,500 of that will go to the first place team. Second place will receive $1,750. Third place, $1,000. And fourth place, $250. So
wow.
Really,
you're going to have to bring that pony in here, Jamie. We're just, you're going to have to bring that pony into Ohio.
I guess so. My gosh.
And really, this is a competition.
You can't. You have puppies. You can't go anywhere ever again.
Oh, no. They don't get here until the 17th, though. But, yeah, I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
So when is the Ohio event coming up? It's in April, isn't it?
It is. This year's event will be held April 7th through 10th, so that's a Thursday through Sunday. And that is in Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio Expo Center.
And what else is going on at this show? What other cool things are coming up?
Well, obviously, we have our educational program. It's something that really is the core of Equine Affair, and that we're trying to help everyone in attendance or those that are not even learn more about their horse, how to take care of their horse, how to advance their riding, different skills for different disciplines. So we have a great lineup coming up for the Ohio event. Some of our clinicians will include John Lyons, Julie Goodnight, Lynn Palm, Al Dunning, Tommy Garland, Guy McLean, Scott Purdom, Jane Savoy, Marlene McRae, Sterling Grayburn, Craig Johnson, Diane Eppers, Jennifer Mosier, Donna Snyder-Smith, Larry Weitzel, Steve Edwards, Alan Pogue, and some others that are yet to be announced.
Well, I'll tell you what, you have a great lineup there, and a lot of those are friends of the Horse Radio Network here. I'm glad to see Guy McLean on that list. I think that he's going to be a great addition this year. He's a good guy and does some fantastic stuff. And then you guys also do, in addition to the Versatile Horse and Rider competition, are there still openings for people to get involved to be part of the clinics?
Absolutely. That would be our Ride with the Best program. That is something where we encourage applicants to apply to ride with the clinicians that I just listed. So we will actually be posting our summary of all of the available clinics toward the end of this week on our website. And applicants will have until February 14th to submit their applications. And at that point, we then forward all of the applications to the presenters who actually make the selections themselves and say, yes, I would like this person to participate with me. And we proceed from there.
And
so really, it's an opportunity.
It's not that expensive either, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. Really, the fees range anywhere from $60 to about $150, depending on what type of a clinic it is, how many people are participating, and who you're riding with. So, yes, and that fee actually includes the admission to Equine Affair on the day of the presentation, as well as your stabling.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
So, Kogi, this is not the first time you've done the Ride with the Best clinic. So that's been a staple for the affairs for a little while now.
It has, yes.
Yeah. In previous years, I've gotten to watch these a number of times, and it's such an awesome opportunity. About how many applicants do you get for about how many spots? Would
you
get
before? It ranges. It varies depending on the discipline, the clinician, and the given year. I would say on average each clinician will receive probably about 20 applications. Some of them receive many more than that. Others receive many less than that. So really, if it's something that you're interested in applying to, we say go ahead and try it. You never know. You might be exactly what the clinician is looking for. And a lot of the clinicians are not looking for the super polished rider either. Some of them are, but many of them are not. And they're looking for people that they can actually help improve their riding or have specific aspects that they're looking at to incorporate into their clinic. So you don't have to be the superstar all-metal rider in order to get into these clinics.
So, and that's interesting because when one of the clinics that I had an opportunity to watch a few years back was with Hilda Gurney, who I had never had an opportunity to watch teach before. And it was an amazing clinic. Every time I have a chance to tell somebody, you know, if you ever get to ride with her or watch her, go. She's really good. And one of the things I so enjoyed about the clinic was the fact that she did have a very wide range of both rider and horse types. And she took that same lesson plan and applied it to those four, I think it was four riders, very different horses and riders, and each and every one of them had a really significant light bulb moment. So that's something the clinician actually creates for the riders as well as the people watching it. And that's one of the really neat things about these clinics as a potential participant, if I apply for it. Like you said, you don't necessarily have to be. One of the young ladies that was riding, might have been a young man riding, had this little, might have been a Fjord or a Halflinger. It was one of the pony draft breeds that he was riding, and it was probably competing at about maybe a training or a first level. But yet one of the other riders in the clinic was riding a very obviously talented young dressage horse who was competing at about third or fourth level. So it's great to watch that variety. So, you know, if you want to apply, go for it. Stick your name in the hat.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're really, the clinicians that we work with, they're fantastic teachers and really have the ability to work with all levels and portray that information to the audience as well as to the rider. So everyone is benefiting from the experience.
Mm-hmm. And it's so reasonable. I mean, for a clinic with a world-renowned equestrian, you can pay a lot of dollars, and to do it at the Equine Affair, and the venues that I was watching at least had bleachers, everybody could see, it was under a roof, you didn't get rained on, plus you get to
Correct.
Go and shop all day, so it's kind of it's a no-brainer from my point of view.
Right on.
It's a win-win-win. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it really is a bargain. Most of these, it's actually very challenging to have the opportunity to ride with a lot of these clinicians as they have schedules that take them from coast to coast all over the country, and to actually have that opportunity in your own backyard, or even if you're from some distance, being able to come to Equine Affair for such a reasonable fee, it's hard to pass up.
Well, now, there's something else that we have to bring up. It's because it's one of the things that is the highlight of this event every year, and Jennifer and I have not seen this yet, and we have to solve this problem maybe this year, is Pfizer Fantasia. Tell us about that.
Sure. Pfizer Fantasia is basically, we call it our signature musical celebration of the horse. It's an evening of entertainment. It begins at 8 o'clock on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. It's the same show each night, but it comprises of a variety of different equestrian performers and acts that are all choreographed to music. So it ranges anywhere from traditional and country to classical to contemporary, and everything in between. It's something where we feature a variety of different disciplines, but it's all, again, choreographed to music. So it's very entertaining and just a celebration of the horse and what we can do with the magnificent creature.
Now, is it something that it's a separate ticket, and it does sell out every year, doesn't it? So you want to get your tickets early?
Correct. Yes, you will want to order in advance. Tickets will actually go on sale beginning next Monday. That would be January 10th. They're available online through our website as well as by calling our corporate office, and you can certainly place your order. It's something that really it's a neat experience if you haven't experienced it. We'll have a reining freestyle, we'll have dressage freestyle, we'll have some driving, some trick riding, and it's really just a neat performance. It usually lasts 1.5 to 2 hours with a short intermission in between, but something that I think if you haven't seen it, or even if you've seen it in the past, it's something that we don't feature the same acts every year, so it's something that rotates, so there's always something new and a totally different show each year.
I actually have a question for you, and I don't know if you can answer this or not because we're talking about the one in Ohio, but there is one coming up in Pomona, California, February 3rd through the 6th. And are you involved with that one as well?
I am, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, see, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, so those of us that can't travel all the way up, to Ohio, this is a great option, and this one's actually coming up pretty quick. It's February 3rd through the 6th, and, I mean, I'm here online looking like, how can I get involved? They still are accepting applications for Ride with the Best. I'm going to do some research on this because I think this is really awesome. What a great way for, you know, people on the East Coast and the West Coast to be involved.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, we do. We take pride in being able to feature events both on the West Coast, in the Midwest, and the East Coast. California event certainly is upcoming very quickly for us. And, again, we have a great lineup of clinicians there. We are still accepting some Ride with the Best applications. We're in the process of finalizing some of those selections. But if you're interested in applying, certainly contact us, and we would be happy to provide you with some further details, let you know what's still available. In addition to our Ride with the Best program out there, we also have our Extreme Cowboy Race that is hosted by Craig Cameron, but something else that we accept applications to for participation.
I think you should do the Extreme Cowboy Race, Jamie. On your war board.
Yeah. Now, tell me exactly, is this where they take the unbroken horse and have to, like, ride it? What is the Extreme Cowboy Race for those who don't know?
The Extreme Cowboy Race is actually not colt starting at all. It is more of a race against time through an obstacle course. And, again, the participants are judged on their performance, but they also are their score is also reflected in the amount of time that they complete the course. So, again, it's a fun competition. It's held in the evening at the California event, so usually there's standing room only as far as viewing goes, so you'll want to make sure you get there and get your seat early if you're coming to spectate. But usually we'll have about 30 horse and rider participants that participate in the competition, and it's divided into two rounds. So we'll have a qualifying round, and then we'll have a finals round. So the top 10 scores from the qualifying round will compete in the finals, and those people have the chance at the big money.
Okay,
and Craig's there, too, right?
He's there this year.
Yep.
Yes, Craig Cameron is our MC for that competition. He always brings a lot of charisma and a lot of fun to the competition, so everyone's having a great time, and he will host that part of the event for us.
Cool. I might have to try it. My warm blood would be very happy.
Really, it is a lot of fun. It's just a great time. Everyone's competing, having a lot of fun, trying to manipulate their horse through some of these obstacles. It's always interesting to see what the courses look like each year, but it's anywhere from dragging a log to trying to back through a kind of a maze type thing, showing some of your horsemanship as well, doing some rollbacks or lead changes and things like that. But it's a neat event in that there's a lot of excitement and a lot of support from the crowd as well.
Okay, I'm out. My horse would no way back through a maze.
You might drag along.
It's not that hard of a maze.
maybe if you shook a plastic shopping bag in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. As long as there's no plastic bags or backing up, we'd be fine.
There you go. So, Kogi, we would be remiss if we talked about Equine Affair without at least mentioning shopping. About how many, and I know it varies from venue to venue because of the venue size, about how many vendors or exhibitors are at each of these shows that are selling product, that are shopping opportunities for us?
Okay. For our Ohio and Massachusetts events, we have usually more than 450 vendors. So the vendors and exhibitors are spread out through a couple of different buildings. But it is a great number. There's a wide variety of different types of shopping, anything from your farm equipment to tack to gifts to apparel.
Yeah, there's tractors there for the horse husbands, not to worry. They can play on the tractors.
Right. Come look and see.
That's right. And I noticed also that something new since I've been to one of the equine affairs is is it called the Trail Pavilion?
Riding Pavilion, yes.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's something we're featuring at our California event and our Ohio event. Basically, it's a concentrated area for associations and exhibitors who would be related to the trail riding industry. Say it's some of your maps and trails associations, some of your riding equipment or camping equipment specialized for the trail rider. We also have a demo ring at the California event that is right within the trail riding pavilion and will feature primarily just topics relating to trail riding or camping.
So obviously the pleasure trail rider or the trail rider who is in the countryside, and some of those guys are competitive trail riders, has really become a force to be reckoned with in the horse industry, hasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's cool.
The trail riding industry is something that continues to grow, and it seems to be growing with leaps and bounds. It's something that people can do regardless of their level, really. It's something that they can just enjoy just going out, doing a trail ride with their horse in the afternoon, in the evening. Doesn't necessarily have to be something competitive, and I think that's the appeal for a lot of people, is that it doesn't have to be something competitive. They can just go enjoy it.
What I find really awesome is that it can be, whereas 20 years ago, if you trail rode, you trail rode. Nowadays, you have that choice, because sometimes you'll have a family who are horsey folks, and you have several members of the family who are non-competitive, and then other members of the family, competition is an important aspect of their love for the horse. So it's so cool now that riding in the open can appeal to a wide variety of horse fanatics, and that's pretty awesome.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It is a great combination and something that everyone is certainly embracing.
Well, Kogi, this has been great. We appreciate you joining us today. It's always fun to talk about Equine Affair, especially for those of us that have been there and know what it's like. And if you haven't been there, you have to experience one. I highly recommend that you go to their website. It's equineaffair.com. You can find the California one on there and also the Ohio one and the Massachusetts one. One piece of advice I have is do not plan on seeing it all in one day. You won't. Get a hotel, stay over. They have hotel information on their website as well. Stay over, spend a couple days, and just enjoy the heck out of it. That's pretty good advice, isn't it?
I think you're right on there. They are very large events. There's a lot to see and do. Schedules will be posted on our website as well, so you can see in advance what you would like to see in terms of clinics and presenters. And obviously the trade show is there as well, so something you won't want to miss.
All right. Well, thank you, Kogi. We appreciate it. And good luck with California coming up here.
Well, we certainly appreciate it as well. It's been a pleasure and wish you the best in the upcoming months.
All right. Thanks, Kogi. All right. That was Kogi Long, program manager from Equine Affair. Well, it's time to take our song interlude for the day. Today we have Templeton Thompson with us again. And a new song that we have not heard here on the show yet, and that is When I Get That Pony Road. Did you say something, Jennifer? You good?
No, I want to hear the song. Let's go.
Okay, good. I thought somebody said something. Sorry about that. So this is When I Get That Pony Road. Templeton Thompson, When I Get That Pony Road.
Man,
well, Jamie,
that girl could sing.
I know.
She
I love Templeton.
She has some pipes.
I know. And, you know, we've been playing music now on the show probably since the third or fourth week, and we haven't duplicated a lot of songs, and I have a ton to go with all these new artists that we're going to be bringing on here, too, over the next couple of months. We have some new ones coming up, and I think it's just fun to play a little music in the morning. That's what morning shows are all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love it. Keep it coming.
All right, well, our next person on the line here that just called in is a friend here from Lexington, Kentucky. Her name is Kelly Gage. Hi, Kelly, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, no problem. Kelly runs an organization called Teen Engaged. I don't know how she got that name. but she does seminars and clinics, actually clinics, with some of the top names in the dressage world. And I was just looking at the 2011 list here, Kelly, and I got a bone to pick with you. Couldn't you get anybody with any big name in the dressage world this year?
Well, we have Debbie McDonald coming up in April, but there are several more people in the works. How it usually runs is, well, you can't really get larger than Edward Gault last year. We hope to have him back.
No, that's true.
We really do hope to have him back, but the way the schedules run for many people is that people don't want to look at their books until March of the year, and then they call you all of a sudden, and then next thing you know, you have 20 clinics lined up for April. The next thing, and then the month after that, you're solidly booked and you can't look up.
Wow.
But no, the schedule is incomplete. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that we're currently signing and that we are currently going through and reviewing their schedules with. So there's more in the works.
I was being very sarcastic, Kelly. I really was.
Oh, I know.
I'm only
on one cup of coffee a day. But
you get the top names in the dressage world. And explain how your clinics work. You actually get some riders in to ride, and then you also have auditors, just like other clinics, except that, you know, the one I went to with Edward, I found very interesting. And it was exciting to see him work with different levels of rider as well, not just the top of the.
We bring in the people, we bring in the top people in the world, but at the same time, it's an open access format. We're very public, we encourage the public to come and to learn, because there's not a hell of a lot out there to provide the public access to these individuals. So we feel that we are truly a public service on top of everything else, but we also try to provide different horses, as you said, different horses and different riders, so people can kind of look at their horses and riders and pick out what they feel they can bring home. I ride ponies, and watching people on 17-hand horses isn't exactly appealing to me half the time, but what I can do is I can find different breeds. We can find different people coming in and always willing to learn and take out the overall message from each horse and rider and apply it to the training at the home. What we then do on top of that, we're not your typical clinic service. Whenever a rider comes into it with us, or whenever an auditor comes in with us, their fees include everything from the time that they arrive to the time that they leave. From the point of, it includes the ride, it includes 3 meals a day, it includes the stabling with the shavings, and we actually worked with Candlewood Suites recently to include discounted hotel rooms for their extended stays while they are on the road. So we really try to. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And that is one part of doing a clinic that can be difficult, is if you do travel to a clinic, where do I go? Where do I stay? You know, does it include stabling? How close can I get food? You know, and what you guys do is you pretty much take care of all of that included in the fee for the clinic ride. So, you know, riding with somebody like Debbie McDonald, and then you've got everything taken care of, you can really focus on the actual clinic and on doing the riding portion, and which I, you know, is the most important to these people.
Yeah. And the nice part about us is, I've been to clinics before, and I feel that paying 6 separate checks for your, all the way from your ride to your stabling, to your gas, is really inefficient.
Annoying.
Annoying. Yeah, I'm like, every time I turn around, I'm like signing my checkbook, and I'm going, this is not cool. I just want to pay one check, and I wanted to solve the world, and that's the principle that we founded it on. The other thing is that we have kind of a show-like atmosphere with the larger clinics. We do smaller clinics where we only attract maybe 30 auditors. but we include a lot of photography. Sherilyn McQuillan, who is a fantastic friend and a wonderful supporter, comes in and does photography for us, and she sends out maybe 30 proofs per rider, and that gives you an updated view of your horse. We come in and we've partnered with Horse Hero and Dressage Training Online to come in and film and then give your riders the videotapes and the DVDs. And videoing alone is not affordable 9 times out of 10, and sometimes you don't always hear the clinician and you don't always see things that you would normally get. But we film in 1080p, we do Blu-ray. It truly is one of the best things, is that you can take home that DVD and watch over and over and over again.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so we've included all that built into the cost. We've included that ever since we've started, and people seem to be responding to it quite well. And we're just happy to help the community out, actually, and bring in these people and bring in more riders to this area, because it's such a lovely area that deserves to be the horse capital of the world.
Now, are they all done in the Lexington area, Kelly?
Lexington and Louisville. We bring in not just dressage riders, but we also bring in eventers, and we started with combined driving this year. So Glenn,
I noticed that coming up. That got my attention. I noticed that there might be a driving clinic coming up, and guaranteed I'll be over watching that one.
Oh, Peter's great. He's such a fun guy. But we do the eventing in Louisville in Goshen, Kentucky at the very, very lovely Flying Cross Farm. We have Stephen Bradley, who comes in now on a quarterly basis to help the riders and teach the riders. We're offering group lessons with him this year in addition to privates. So that's something new and something different. But we work within different facilities. I personally do not own a facility. My business partner, Vicki Esquivel, doesn't own a facility herself. She manages two. So what we do is that we contact the facilities around, so that way it's just not people coming to Lexington. It's people coming just to Central Kentucky, and Kentucky is abroad.
All
so
right.
Things can be spread
around. Well, Kelly, I know that you're limited on time, but I wanted to mention again, it's teamengaged.com if you want to check out the clinics and what's involved there. Do you have a Facebook page as well?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so just search for Team Engaged?
Yeah, and we have it linked on the website as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Kelly, and you have a great day.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having us on.
All right, bye, Kelly.
All right. Well, now I want to get to this this article. You did read this, right?
I did.
Okay. I'm going to, why don't you tell everybody, this is out of the Area 1 newsletter, and I'm going to post this on Facebook so people can follow along. And what it was a guy by the name of Roger Deemers, and this is the Area 1 of the USEA, United States Eventing Association newsletter. I don't even know, where is Area 1, guys?
I think Area 1 is in New England, if I recall.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so when I read this, I thought, oh my gosh, this guy has got it. He gets it. And this is such a great guideline for people that event. I mean, and granted, people that compete or do anything with their horses, this is great advice, but eventing especially, because the following guidelines, he says, the following are some guidelines to eventing gleaned from my first 6 months in the eventing world. May it be of benefit to an eventer's boyfriend/girlfriend who do not yet know what they've gotten themselves into. And so I love that, that part of it. And he basically starts out talking about he met this girl, Katie Murphy. He had no idea what eventing was. He'd never been around a horse. And that's obviously a tale that many, many men have.
By the way, Jamie, this is my story. You know, when I met Jennifer 25
really?
Years ago, I had no idea. You know, I had no idea what horses were. I had never heard of an event. I had no idea what that was. It's just, I just wanted to qualify that this is my story. What he wrote here is absolutely true.
It is, and I think it's funny because he talks about the first things that he thought when you think about horses and competitions is the Kentucky Derby. He's like, so you're racing horses? And she's like, no, it's not racing, you idiot. You know. So he first thing that he did to impress his new girlfriend, he went on YouTube and studied videos of Rolex, researched the USEA website, you know, went to Eventing USA, and then he attended
his first... This guy put some effort into it. I didn't even put that much effort into it.
you didn't try, but 25 years ago we didn't have the internet, Glenn, so you're forgiven.
Well, that's true. That's...
And this is something that has happened to me and a girlfriend of mine is, you know, he talks about, you know, after dressage, you set out to walk cross country and those fences look nothing like the ones on YouTube. He says they were big, they were solid, and they were everywhere. And he said, even it was only preliminary, he walked up to fence one and he says, I let a profanity slip and confirmed with Katie that she would be jumping this. She told me to pipe down and walk faster. And that is so perfect. I remember dating a guy, and we went to a horse trial, and he was trying to walk the course with me. He didn't last very long, by the way, because he walks up to one, and he goes, oh, my God, that's effing huge. Are you going to do that? You're going to kill yourself.
Wrong.
Wrong. You're done. This is the last time you ever come to anything. And so, you know, I take my husband one. He goes, that is very impressive. And I'm like, see, you're a keeper. You're a keeper because you didn't say I was going to get myself killed by doing this. So
okay.
That
well, then
is exactly
Jennifer must have had a ton of patience because we'll go through the points he makes here. I did all of these. He says, for those who have never ridden cross country, it's important to not do the following things while walking the course with a rider. Ask how any horse could jump that. I think I did that many times in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Swear. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Proclaim appreciation to God that you're not jumping that fence. That's true.
Yeah.
And ask if you could jump the smaller one next to it instead. All true. All very true. And you know what? I think I made this mistake probably for the first year. So that shows you how much patience Jennifer had. And to this day, I don't like watching her jump. And, you know, there are certain horse husbands and boyfriends that can, you know, really get into watching their spouses or significant others do the cross country. I can watch other people do it just fine. But when I watch Jennifer do it, I got to admit, I do close my eyes occasionally. I think she does too. But...
He always used to tell me that, you know, so which hat cover are you wearing today and what number are you so I can watch for you coming on the cross country course. He was lying. What he really meant is he would know when to close his eyes. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the worst thing too, and I think he makes this point later on, Jennifer, did Glenn ever, while he was getting into it, start to tell you how to ride your course?
No, he wouldn't tell me how to ride the course, but he would try to offer either solace or emotional support.
Oh, there's another thing you don't do.
Yeah.
And don't do any of that because whatever you say is wrong, whether they're having a good day or a bad day, you can't say anything that's going to fix that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
If I just had the best ride in the world and I come back and my husband's like, well, that was okay, I'd be like devastated because I thought it was the best ride in the world. And, you know, and then if I fall off or something like that and they make some joke about it, I would be also devastated. So you can't say anything that is correct. It's just for good job, honey, here's some water. I mean, that's pretty much it. And just walk away.
Yeah.
But he goes on to say, you know, you ask how any horse can jump there. And that's guys like kind of fallback, I think, Jen, you may agree with me, is that guys want to make a joke. Like, they're uncomfortable, so they try to make a joke. Hey, can you just jump that smaller one next to it? You know, no, you idiot. It's not on my course.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though, I must say, for Glenn, that was legit because I am the absolute queen of going off course.
Oh,
absolute queen. And the number of times I jumped the wrong fence, and it wasn't, and, you know, half the time it was the wrong fence up, and sometimes it was the wrong fence down, and sometimes it was the wrong order. So when he made comments like that, they were well-deserved on my part.
I still make those comments. You know, when first show I ever went, we went to Maryland. I remember we had to get up at, like, the 2:30 in the morning and drive there. That was one of the problems of living where we did is it was a, you know, 4-hour drive to any event. So that meant you were up really early and heading out. And when she was on cross-country course, I knew nothing. I did walk the course with her, so I had a vague idea of where that all went, but it all was just confusing to me. And then she went completely off course in the middle of it, into a different field even that wasn't even part of the whole thing. And I think you realized it after a while and started heading back, but by that time I think you were eliminated. And, you know, for me, being the first time, I just didn't understand why she got eliminated because, you know, she was still out there riding. You know, who cares if she's on the neighbor's farm? You know, there are probably jumps over there, too.
You know, you're a supportive horse husband. I'd love to hear from any listeners, 347-637-3238, what you think about your horse husband or horse boyfriend. He goes on to say, and if you've ever been to Rolex, if you've ever been to a horse trial, if you've ever been to an event, if you've ever been to any horse function at all, what he says here, another tip, everyone had a dog. Get one and you'll fit right in. So there you go, Glenn.
Or get two.
Exactly. Get two dogs, whatever. But, yeah, I think you should get the dog. The next thing he says is, I love this one because how many times? He says, also, bring a camera. Know how to use it. I have given a camera to guys before and been like, just take my picture when I'm over the fence, when I'm jumping the fence, and you get your camera back, and there's 47 pictures of you either about to jump or the ground or a picture of the sky or a picture of you upon landing and you've already left the fence and there's a picture of just the jump standing there. I mean, how many of those do you have? So, yes, also bring a camera and know how to use it.
There you go.
Bye. That was my defense when Jennifer did cross country because I was taking the pictures, so I didn't have to watch her. I was taking the pictures. I could just click the pictures when I knew the time was about right, and I could look at them later. And then I'll tell you the one time, though, I got half decent at taking pictures of horses going over jumps over the years. We went to Fair Hill. Jennifer's going to remember this. We went and watched Fair Hill, the four-star there. It was. We hadn't been there in a couple of years, and we went down just to watch. Remember this, Jennifer? I was taking pictures because I'd gotten a new camera, and I wanted to take some pictures. And every single jump we walked to, and we were walking around that day.
Yeah, you had bad jump karma.
Oh my God! The first rider at every single jump, I was snapping away, fell off every single one. At every jump we went to, so I had all these pictures of riders hitting the ground, basically. It was the most bizarre things. You go to an event like that, you'll not see a rider fall off, you know, in two or three events. It was like we had bad car. We stopped walking around because we figured it was us. It was just
That's terrible, Glenn. You're not supposed to.
Yeah,
that's your fault. You're spooky.
It just got to be kind of an ironic thing. And the dog thing does drive me kind of crazy at shows. I got to be honest with you. There are just dogs everywhere.
Because people leave them alone and don't keep after them.
Yeah.
I've always brought my dogs to competitions, and I do leave them in the trailer when I actually, you know, you tack up your horse and you hop on and ride. They go into the trailer. We got a screen door, my little living quarters being my dressing room with a mattress and the gooseneck part. So that's as fancy as I get. But they stay in there during my rides, but as soon as I'm back, they love to go. Where I would not take my dog is to something like Rolex. Because there's a million people, there's a million dogs, and it's an all-day thing, and you just walk miles and miles throughout the day, and you see these poor dogs about noon that are just exhausted and freaked out in the trade fair and all that. So Rolex, not the place to take a dog. A long weekend of camping and competing at an event, definitely I take my dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, and Roger seems to be pretty young, the guy who wrote this article. He's in college, so... He's pretty young, but I like the last paragraph, and I want to read that to everybody. Rising before the sun, hours in the truck across state borders, the constant smell of manure, seeing your girlfriend cleaning her horse's sheath, by the way, that one still freaks me the hell out. These are some of the things which make dating an adventure challenging. But as this season drew to a close, the saddles were replaced by blankets, I found myself missing the weekends away, the cool evenings in the gooseneck, and the canine camaraderie. So I loved how he ended that, actually.
I love it.
It was well written.
Yeah, I think it's great. And even before that, before he closes it, I love the part here, you know, because this is so true. The final day of show jumping offers the opportunity to move up in standings, clinch the win, or just be done already. I've witnessed many reactions from the sidelines and stabling. People scream, they joke, they recap every stride of their ride, or they cry. If your rider ever has a problem while competing, again, let's go back to it. Don't say a word. Let them talk first and never, ever, ever offer any advice. That is so true. If a guy says, you know what you should do is, I'd be like, you go home. Go home.
We really do have to do the horse boyfriends 101 course, horse husbands 101 course, because yeah. You know what? There's so much to learn. You guys think there's a lot to learn about riding. There is as much to learn about being a horse husband than there is to learn to ride a horse. It's incredible the amount of stuff. And we all do it by trial and error. We all learn that way because there's no other way to learn.
Glenn, I feel really sorry for men. It's really just a lose-lose. I mean, up until I met, you know, the man of my dreams, I would never let a guy come to a competition just because they mess me up. Like, I don't want to babysit you. I've got a work to do. And what he did say is at the beginning of this article, he said, she made it clear that none of this is about me. None of this weekend is about me. It's all about her. And it's all about the horse first, and then her, then the dog, then me. I love that because that's exactly how it goes. Honey, take the dog for a walk. I got to go, you know, clean my horse's sheath. So I think this article is great, and you guys do need to do an entire show. You should throw Chad in on the air and do a show with him talking about, you know, the do's and don'ts.
That's true. We're definitely going to do that, no question about it. Well, that was fun. We have some fun shows coming up, too. One thing we want to promote a little bit here is on Thursday, we're going to do something we haven't done before that we're calling Stump the Host. I have a guest coming on. We're sort of doing this like the old show back in the 60s, What's My Line, where we have a guest coming on, and Jamie does not know who it is. She knows she has never met this person. She knows who this person is. She's never met this person, but all this person's going to do is give yes or no answers when they come on the air. And you're going to have to ask a series of questions to try and figure out who this person is. You are familiar with this person for sure. There's no question in my mind about that. And you just have – they will only answer in yes or no. Because the voice in this case may give it away a little bit. In every case, though, you know, you kind of know voices. And that's how they did it on this show. So we want to start doing fun little game show segments like this. And we want to get our listeners involved in it, too. But I think for Thursday, we're just going to call it Stump the Host because going to have fun with this one.
This is potential for me to kind of make a little bit of an ASS out of myself because, here you go. Guess who this is, and then they're going to be sitting right there. What if I don't know who they are, or what if I don't get it, or I choke because I get nervous doing game show type stuff. So
all of that is good comedy relief for us.
Yeah, great for you.
All of that is great for the audience and great for Jennifer and I. It's all terrific.
Payback. There's payback, my friend, and I will get you, and I will get your wife in on it, and we will get you back. So, that's coming up on Thursday. Stump the Host. Guess who Jamie's going to guess who it is. So we'll see what happens.
This will be a good one because the listeners won't know either, so they can play along. This will be a good one. And if you get totally stumped, we can have listeners call in to help you out.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's great to have you back, Jamie. It was good to talk to you again today. Remember that you can find all of our shows at the Horse Radio Network on horseradionetwork.com. Last week on Friday, we had the Stable Stoop show come out that Helena and I do, and I have to tell you, it was a fun show. You want to go back and take a listen to it, go to stablescoop.com. We had the Zebra Guru on. It's a lady who trains zebras, zorses, and zonkies. Zebras, zorses, and zonkies, and she's out of Texas, and she rides them, and she drives them, and does all kinds of things with them, jumps them. So you want to take a listen to that show. It was so much fun to hear about the zebras, zorses, and zonkies. And you can also follow us on Facebook. Yeah, I know. Just search for Horses in the Morning. There were a lot of good comments on there this morning. Thank you, everybody. And you'll find the pictures that we posted of Jamie's new little puppies that are coming, which are so darn cute.
And
also,
and the sweater.
And the sweater. Yes, you'll find a picture of her.
He's going to kill me. Hey, honey, I kind of posted your picture on a Horses in the Morning webpage wearing your sweater. He's going to kill me. Thanks, guys.
He really has to be comfortable with his manhood. I have to say that. We are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Absolutely. If you miss one of the live shows, you can listen to the recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern with another look at the horse world. And hopefully my husband will still be living here once he finds out about the puppies and the whole sweater thing on Facebook. So good times. Goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Have a safe ride today, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow morning.